This is CliffCentral.com.
Hey, Robin. What are you going to sit there like a lummox all morning? Get your ass in here. He's looking at me like he's waiting for Godot.
He's waiting to be introduced like a royal guest.
Well, he is a royal guest. In fact, I'm gonna give him the special intro for this morning.
Okay.
Hello, Robin Howdith. How are you? Sit down, dude. Have a seat. Take a seat anywhere you like. Here, let's give him the proper intro. Here's your special introduction for this morning. Pop on those headphones. Get yourself comfortable. Yes, good morning.
Good morning, Gareth. How are you doing?
How are you, son of a bitch?
I haven't seen you in ages.
It's nice to see you.
Ages.
Robin Howdith is, of course, well known to people. He's a comedian. He's an all-round funny guy. He's been on innumerable TV shows. And he's now, I don't know how this happened, but you are promoting the Clarence Comedy Festival. What do you have to do with Clarence?
Nothing really, except that it's
exactly.
A great little destination. Hi, buddy. How are you doing?
I'm
haven't
good.
Seen you in ages.
All right.
My home is about 40 minutes from Clarence.
Yeah.
So I'm very
familiar
with
it. Wow, that's a crazy commute.
I'm very familiar.
I'm glad you're here at 8 o'clock.
My parents' home, where I grew up.
She drives. Yeah. She drives every day.
Every
Clarence,
day.
On a donkey cart. Yeah. It's in the Eastern Free State. It's a beautiful place. My sister has been there a couple of times, and she loves it. She's got friends who live there, too. Mm-hmm. And it's magic. It's like this really, really unspoiled, beautiful mountain village.
Yeah, it's like a little, I wouldn't say rinky-dink, but it's kind of old school. It's a destination town. People go there for
Mubs, you know it well. I mean, well, yeah. It's pretty, right?
Sure, it's amazing. It's gorgeous. And then in winter, yes.
Yeah, I was there a couple of weeks back when there was snow up in the Maluti Mountains.
Yeah.
And as you drive in, you see it. And for people who, you know, you see snow on pictures and stuff, but not many people actually go get to see snow. I was surprisingly excited.
So I get excited. I'm like a child when I see snow, especially in South Africa because we don't get it often.
Yeah, it does that too.
Okay, so you got 10 comedians, 15 performances, 9 venues, 3 days. That sounds phenomenal.
Yes, it's like a, I'm trying to think, like comedy tourism, I suppose, for lack of a better word. You know, it's kind of in the middle of the it's Eastern Free State, but it's within driving distance from Durban and Joburg. You can get there in 2.5 hours.
And those people in the Free State, they've got nothing to do all the time. They might as well go.
Yeah.
Well, I mean,
they can drink.
But, well, yeah, okay, yeah.
They do. I mean, for the number of restaurants and bars and stuff in the little town.
Because Clarence also have their own beer fest. So you're right.
Yes,
they can
do.
Drink.
The Clarence Beer Fest.
Yeah, they can drink.
All right. Now, you're on the lineup.
No, I'm the festival director.
Oh, my God, look at you. How did that happen?
Fancy titles and things.
Was everyone else taken?
I do things that's never been done before, Gareth.
Really? So you're the festival director?
Yeah, I came up with this idea 3 years ago. And
you're very clever.
Thank you. And I, yes, like unlike the lady earlier, you had an interview with a lady and never got to see her.
Whatever. Warda?
Yes, Warda, and she said, yes, something about South Africans. Like, yes, we are 150% smarter.
Yeah, and you laughed. Just there. You're like, that's the dumb thing to say, you think.
I think it's not smart-ish. Anyway,
right,
so
I'm
thank
leave
you.
You.
So I spoke to the Clarence Tourism Forum, and I said, look, I've got this idea for a comedy festival and utilizing all your little intimate spaces, like your, your intimate spaces.
Yeah.
No, utilizing all your restaurants and bars and pubs and conference facilities. And so it's kind of like a pub crawl with comedy.
Sounds
and
fantastic.
Food.
This is a great weekend.
Yes, it's a great weekend. You know, people go, oh, we want to go and do something. Oh, people always tell me, where's comedy in South Africa been? Now, compared to 10 or 12 years ago when we just started comedy scene with you, it was...
Is that your phone or your vibrator? It's both.
It's Warda kicking your ass.
She sent you a message. You were saying compared to a couple of years ago.
A couple of years ago, people would be like, hey, where's comedy? And now there's comedy clubs. There's, you know, comedians doing great things in the world. The focus on comedy in South Africa, you don't have to go look for it in the dark, dingy corners. It's out there.
We've got such a good comedy industry going, really.
Yes.
I mean, there's so many very, very proficient, consistently good people in comedy. Mm-hmm. Isn't it hard to choose a lineup?
It is, but a lot of people, you know, I understand there's a huge amount of comedians out there. And although many of the comedians say they love the craft, and lots of comedians do love the craft, it is still their main source of income.
Okay.
You know, so if they got to do a corporate gig for X, Y, and Z company at a golf day and it's paying them 12 or 13,000 rand a month, you know, it's hard for me to book them because I can't pay them that at the festival.
So who have you
I'm saying
in?
Come and do club gigs.
Who have we got on this one?
Oh, this one we've got Angel Campy.
Yes.
She's just come back
from Angel.
Yeah, she's
cool.
just come back right. from 2 months. She was in Canada and the States and New York.
Okay.
Doing great stuff with Comedy Central at the
Very
Montreal
nice.
Comedy Festival.
Cool.
We've got Tsepo Mokgale, who's been doing comedy for as long
Love
as I've been watching
Tsepo.
Comedy.
Yeah. Sure.
We've got Claudine Ullman, who is a new little upstart kind of doing things. She's got a company called Jittery Citizens, and what they do is improv.
Yeah,
so she studied improv
she
around
was over
the world
here for a while. Yeah,
yeah, and she does. She teaches comedians theater acting and stuff to help them get roles and stuff. Friends of mine like David Kibuka, they all been taught by her at some point.
Wow.
Yeah, and then I've got Eric Janssen. You know Eric.
Yes.
Eric does a podcast.
Very
on,
very
on
good.
Fridays.
He's on with that drunk.
Dave Levinson.
Dave Levinson. That's right. I always forget what his name is. I always for some reason I think of beer.
Yes, yeah. He makes his own craft beer and then
he does.
Drinks
Dave
it
Brew.
Yeah.
He's bringing some to my kids' 1 year birthday tomorrow.
Do you hang out with comedians a lot of the time? A lot
you know,
of these guys.
I
are your
haven't
friends.
For a while. I mean, I was in the industry hard and thick and fast. You remember, I was all up in everyone's business, producing shows left,
but
right,
you,
and center.
I mean, you're actually. Let's just remind people: you're an architect.
Yes, I have an architectural services company as well.
Right. So you're an architect. A lot of people may remember you from Big Brother, the
Correct.
Original one.
2002.
When that show still made people celebrities.
The very first interview I ever had from me being just this kid, grew up in Indonesia, you know, did some nasty stuff on a TV show.
Oh, you Indian?
Just about.
Yeah. Just about.
The very first interview?
Yeah. The very first interview I did as officially a celebrity was you on 7:02, 6:45 in the morning, the day after I got evicted.
How did that go?
Oh, you tried to bamboozle me with some bullshit.
What do you mean?
You came, you said, oh, Sir Robin, you've been in the house for 58 days. What do you think of David Beckham's death? And I was like,
oh, wow.
I was like, dude.
I tried to trick you.
You tried to trick me.
So did you believe it for a
no.
second? Were you,
you
like,
see what
oh
happened? Because clever people like you and me, because we also existed before the time of Facebook and Twitter.
Mm.
But then we knew stuff before Facebook and Twitter as well. Mm. If you and I played Pub Quiz in 2003, we'd do fantastically well.
Yeah.
And then people now want to play Pub Quiz, but then they got the Google machines under the table doing stuff. So that's why I always endeared myself to you, because you know things.
Yeah,
you
sure.
know things.
You know things too. I like that kind of real world knowledge. I don't think if you can Google something, it doesn't make you smart.
No. If you can Google it and then remember it 5 years from now,
that's
yes,
smart.
Then 5 years
sure.
from now, then wow, you're smart enough to do it. So, and the rest of the lineup is, you know, I'm announcing.
But you don't
to
want to
now.
Talk about you. I'm busy talking about you.
Sorry. Okay.
What's wrong with you? Can I handle this interview? You
fine,
want
fine, fine, fine.
Can I do my job?
I'm just looking around.
I was
like,
talking about
this. This is like a.
Didn't I tell you he's just coming here to plug his festival? That's all he wants. No, Robin is an architect. He was in the Big Brother house all those years ago. He's done a lot of comedy, MC work, all the rest of it. And you love Formula One. I remember something like that.
Yeah,
too.
I do like Formula One. It's
and you've worked with Trevor Noah. I mean, let's not mess around.
Yeah, I mean, I remember booking Trevor, getting a call from another comedian, Martin Jonas, many years ago, going, I just saw this kid do an open spot in Newtown, and I used to run a gig at the Blues Room.
So you really knew him from the start.
So he called. You know when Trevor had dreadlocks?
Yes.
You see, when people go, what do you mean Trevor had dreadlocks?
He had dreadlocks?
Trevor had dreadlocks. So, and he
Have
called me.
You got
me
a picture of that?
You know the weirdest thing with that photo is, he's got dreadlocks, and he's wearing a... like a crochet vest.
Wow, that's bad. Shit, you could sell that to American. You could sell that to an American gossip magazine now.
Oh. Yeah, and then so I called him up. He said, "Hi, Robin. I got your details from Martin Jonas." I said, "Cool."
Mm-hmm.
He said, "You know, I'd come through to the gig and do an open spot." And he came through and did about 7 or 8 minutes.
Yeah,
it was fantastic. Yeah. You know, there was definitely
could you spot
a spark
the talent
there. There was
straight
a
away?
Spark. It wasn't like, oh my god, this guy's so amazing. It just meant he's pretty much better than 90% of the other guys out there.
Yeah.
And then the thing that set him apart was that he worked hard. You know, he'd write his gags, he'd rehearse them, and things that we just thought comedy was a very organic thing. And I still find comedy to be a very organic thing. If I get on stage, I don't try to always keep to a script unless I'm emceeing an event and there is an actual script. But he worked it and he honed it and he thought that's not a good gag and change that and do stuff. And as he started playing more and more club gigs, you get to speak to a lot of people. I always said the University of Comedy is backstage. The University of Comedy is coming off stage and Luisa Gola telling a new upstart, the next time you do a gag, don't say chick, say girlfriend.
Yeah.
And things like that make a big difference. And when all the comedians, I mean, I remember when the University of Comedy was the underground in Melville.
Yeah.
And basically every single comic in Joburg was there every single Sunday night for 2 or 3 years. And that was maybe 10 or 12, 15 people.
Mm-hmm.
Where now you have a big industry night like Savannah Comics Trace Awards, where you can fill a huge conference venue with all the industry types.
Yeah.
So that's how big the industry's gone in 10 years. And yes, it kind of creates an up vacuum. So people like Trevor doing great overseas, Luisa going to Edinburgh a couple of times, all of that kind of creates an upswell for people to go, hey, man, there's this place called Edinburgh, and if I'm good enough, I can go and do comedy. And there's Montreal, and there's places now. There's comedy clubs in Cape Town. There's comedy clubs in Johannesburg. There's a great, the most booming comedy circuit, if you want to call it that, in Johannesburg, is in Durban, of all places.
Is in Durban. You mean in South Africa, isn't it?
No, sorry, sorry. Yeah, the biggest comedy...
careful, because Wada just messaged me. He's a fucking idiot.
Sorry, Wada. I feel 114% unsmarter.
So Durban, there's more...
Durban, there's a lot of comedy. You can go to a comedy show in Durban every single night of the week.
Wow.
Yeah.
How did that
happen?
And
that's just 2 or 3 producers.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, sure, it's smaller space, but all of these things have to happen in smaller spaces. Not everyone can fill the Lyric. Not everyone needs to do the Teatro at Monte Cassino. You need to go to your local pub or your local restaurant and go, hey, man, give me 60 seats on Thursday.
Right.
Let me tell my friends. That's where you go. Because comedy is not there's one place in the world, in Canada, where you can write a degree in stand-up comedy.
Huh.
And your lecturers are like Mike Myers and all the big Canadian greats. So, like, it's really... good. Bill Cosby at some point was like an affiliate of it, but I don't think they're doing that anymore.
I think they should
you can just see his lectures, rape jokes 101. You know,
they should lose any evidence of him being affiliated with that institution ever.
Yeah.
Oh, you know what drives me crazy about Bill Cosby is he always insisted on being called Dr. Bill Cosby, right? Because he's got honorary doctorate.
Oh, I just thought from the show, the Huxtables.
Maybe that's what got him thinking about that.
Yeah.
But he always insisted on being called Dr. Bill Cosby because he had honorary degrees. And they've all stripped their degrees from him now. So now he's Mr. Bill Cosby, whether he likes it or not.
That's weird.
Yeah. If you get an honorary degree, you don't call yourself doctor.
Yeah. I mean, if you think of Jeremy Clarkson has an honorary degree in engineering.
Exactly. Doesn't mean he's an engineer. You wouldn't let him fix your car.
No.
Do you still practice the architecture all the time?
Yeah, I was emailing today. So what I do is I certify areas for lease agreements.
Oh, wow.
So I go to buildings and measure the building, because sometimes it's really old buildings and they don't have plans because it's 1974 or it's in feet and inches, you know, from council. So I certify areas and I issue a certificate.
Is there good money in that?
Yeah, well, for the 2 or 3 years hiatus that I've had from the comedy, I've been doing, you have a lease agreement.
Yeah.
Every single person that has a shop or a business, whether you're big, you know, whether you're the Department of Justice or you own a sweet shop in the mall at Carnival City.
Yeah.
You know, that's the people. So basically anyone that has a lease agreement is a potential client.
And they get charged by square meters?
Yes, I get charged by square meters. So if I measure your premises and it's 520 square meters.
Do you ever get people saying, hey, Rabin, hey, how's you make your square meterage a little less, hey, so I can pay some cheaper rent here? You get that?
You do a really good dance, Simpson.
Come on, man. I put a 20 in your pocket now, 20 thou. You give me a reduction on the rental here.
No one's ever done that, and I don't think I'll ever do it. It's not. It's just, you missed the point.
Yeah, all right.
You missed the point.
I get it. You're honest. I know. I know you are. But you're also really funny. Did you miss doing comedy on a regular basis?
No, I've kind of got to the thing where I know I look, I do quite a bit of corporate and MC work. Sure. So, and I found a I wouldn't say a niche market, but Indian family functions.
Are you kidding? Is that
weddings
the thing
you're and doing? 21st emceeing? People call me out of the blue. Hey man, I saw you MC this guy's wedding. Can you do my wedding? Yeah, sure. Where is it? Oh, Mount Edgecombe in Durban. Okay, cool. What's your fee? My fee is X amount. Will you pay for my flights and accommodation?
They do.
Yes.
Sure.
One of the nights I went partying with you in Durban.
Mm-hmm.
You were at a crazy Indian club.
Yes.
Out in like a weird industrial
Tongla.
Area.
Sure.
You're like a weird industrial area. And I called. I was like, hey, I see you both in Durban. I met you and we went for drinks and stuff afterwards. That I was in Durban that weekend because I was emceeing a wedding.
Yes, this dude.
Crime
remember?
Scene number one. Put up the yellow tape right there.
Now, are you? What's it like with a kid and the wife and the responsibilities at that?
Little baby Monroe. He's blazing.
Yeah.
He's just he gives you a whole kind of different kind of joy or meaning. It's now I'm like, oh whoa, yeah. Just hold my tequila for a while. Yeah.
Let me talk about this.
Yes.
So is he? I mean, like, is he an impressive kid already?
He's
super
how old
impressive. Is he now?
He turned one 2 days ago.
Uh-huh.
And
can you tell he's really smart? Because some
yes.
people think their kids are smart,
because
but their kids are morons.
No, he's. I wouldn't say he's a moron, but and if he is, I'm only partially to blame for it. He's only 50% moron from my side.
No, because but this is something that worries
okay, he
me.
Talks, he walks, he can blow out his candle
at one.
I'm thinking, I don't know kids who can blow candles at one.
That's very impressive.
He can talk. He knows words. He knows the difference between water and a banana. And he can say water or banana.
1 year old.
1 year old. That's climbs upstairs, climbs downstairs. Okay, walks into things a lot. Like fucking bumps his head. I'm like, guy, look up. Just at this, you know, I'm trying to play you up here to people.
Yeah, he sounds,
and now you eating a nachi like you... What's wrong with you?
Smashing it against his head.
He can eat a nachi with your foot, but it doesn't make it a good idea.
And the whole idea of actually being married, I mean, for you, for the longest time, I remember you were a bit of a wild guy.
If I think of from the time I met you, was 2001, 2002, and we'd go to the same nightclubs. It'd always be all these industry nights. Remember Melrose Arch on the Thursday evening with your buddy Alan Ford, and it was great. It was always a... weird mix of people. And then I thought, oh, this is cool. And then I got into DJing and hosting at nightclubs.
That's
and
right.
For many years, I worked at the best nightclubs in Joburg, and it was great fun. And I just thought, wow, this is great, because every other night or every other weekend, there's fresh blood. There's
different girls.
There's different music, different people.
You were pretty much drunk nonstop.
Yeah, a lot. And then I suppose... moving from the nightclub scene into the comedy scene, and then I started traveling with comedy, national tours with Trevor, doing tours with Eugene, taking Lisa Gorlach to Edinburgh.
When did you hear from Trevor while we were on him?
I think I saw him about.
You drove
eight,
past
eight or 9 months ago.
He drove past his billboard in New York. Don't lie.
No, actually, my brother's his manager.
Yes.
So I haven't shook his hand and spoken to him for maybe 9 or 10 months. And before that was probably Edinburgh, 2012.
Yeah. So it's a long time.
It was a long time. And I suppose...
Don't you...
You know, they go in breakups, you know, there's that healing period. And I think we're going through that healing period.
No, but hang on. Don't you want to go and, like, buy a ticket from a scalper in New York? Go and sit in the front row at the Daily Show and just sit there and see if he sees you. Don't you want to do that? Couldn't that be fun?
It would, but I mean, my...
sit there, like, but you must look really sad and, like, forlorn.
Maybe just dress up as a bum.
Yeah, you must
dress up as a hobo.
You just wear, like, homeless people clothes and sit there in the front row and look really miserable and start crying in the middle of the show. And he'll notice you, and he'll go, oh, Jesus, it's Rabin. What's happened to you?
No, I found that it's no use. And like you could have been you on commercial radio and stuff, and people are chasing a thing. You're chasing a like. You're chasing a retweet. You're chasing a stuff, you know? And you went, no, I want to do this thing where I think people will like it. So let me try this thing.
Yeah.
And the same with that. I didn't want to continuously be that guy or someone else's yes man. Or he's only doing this because he's associated and affiliated with that person. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, so it was always tricky. And after a couple of years of that, it was like I wouldn't say an internal dilemma, but you have a crisis of conscience. My wife's a lawyer. She uses that a lot.
Sure.
A crisis of conscience. And... yeah, there was, you know, there was a breakup.
Right.
Like all relationships, whether it be business or intimate.
Absolutely.
There's breakups. And there was a breakup, and that was it. And
how did you meet your wife?
I met my wife at a food and wine appreciation group that I used to run.
It's very sophisticated.
Yes, very, very fancy. Basically, it was me. When Facebook just started, I was like, how do I meet people?
A food and wine appreciation group.
Yes.
That's some
sweet. And but the weird thing was, I used to call it Faywag.
Was this an actual group you belonged to?
This was
like
an actual
club.
I started it. I started it.
Oh, now it makes sense.
So what I do is I book a restaurant and I book a table of 25 people.
Yeah.
Like it, wherever.
Metro. And the whole purpose of this, by the way, is for him to find girls to date.
Yes. And I did about 13 of them, and I met and dated 4 girls, of which the last one I married.
Okay.
You're kidding.
And look the one that you. I met, when I met Nastasha, that was the last one I had. After I met her and we started dating, I've never had another one in 3 years.
In other words, you never cared about food and wine.
No.
You have no appreciation for them. You're a philistine.
Above like a box wine in
the pretty face and pussy club. That's what you should call it.
Peft.
Peft. Well, I'm very happy for you. Look at
you
how far
too, man.
You've
and
come.
You know, can I say something? Because I think you're someone that will appreciate it, and then you'll be sincere enough to say yes or no. Because you know, you meet people after many years, you don't see them. You go, "Hey, man, I got a hook. Let's go for lunch. Let's do brunch and stuff." And they go, "Okay, cool." But then you don't hear from them again. Mm. So I have a thing where I go, "Hey, man, do you know, let's meet for lunch 2 weeks time, 3 weeks time." Yeah. And they go, "Yes." And I take out my phone and I go, "Calendar."
Yeah.
And then you'll know if they're genuine or not.
Yes.
If they go, "Oh yeah, okay, cool. Let's look." So now here you, Gareth, with all your 12 listeners. 12,000.
Yeah, go to hell.
Because you've made a difference.
Why don't you get MC a wedding?
No, those 11 people can't afford me. Because you've made a difference with the internet radio. I remember when it started and people were like cooking the books and doing stuff. But now this is a bona fide thing.
It's a thing.
And you went and you learned from Howard Stern. You know that stuff. So we're always 3 or 4 years behind the curve, but now we're doing it. So now I got you on the spot. When are we going to have a lunch?
No, I don't want to have lunch with you.
Okay, then a drink then.
Fuck. See, that's genuine. Because I don't want to go out. I don't see people. I don't like going anywhere anymore.
Okay, then.
I've become completely.
He's a hermit.
Antisocial.
Okay, come to my house and I'll have some nice fancy wines.
Right. Yeah, and then I can meet your wife. That would be fun.
That'd be great. Okay, right. Cool.
Take out your calendar, you motherfucker.
Okay, they're both whipping their calendars out.
When are we doing? See Garrett going, March 2017.
Yeah, I can schedule it in November.
Okay, so 6 to 8, I'm doing the festival. Plug.
When is the festival again? Yeah, tell us again.
The 6th to the 8th of October. Come to Clarence.
So I must put in my calendar here. That
okay, so you tell, because you're clearly busier than I am. So if you go, you pick a date. We can play a game. Pick a date for a date.
Does it have to be over a weekday or weekend?
No, weekday. I work from home. So you can say 11 o'clock on a Wednesday morning, Rabin, I need whatever. Yeah.
Is this a lunch or a dinner situation?
Whatever. It's whenever Gareth has time for an old friend.
I'll tell you what's good. I've got to go and do an Institute for the Advancement of Journalism conversation on racism at 10:30 on the 19th of October.
Ooh. Oh, cool.
So how about we do lunch after that, because I'll need someone to make me feel happier after talking about racism.
Okay, 19th of November.
Yeah. Can we do that? Lunch?
Yeah, I've got it.
Lunch, Rabin. All right, let me put this in here quickly. Are you on social media? You care about that stuff?
Yeah, pretty much.
You do? Where are we going to go?
Where's Institute of Race Relations?
Where's it
in
happening?
In Auckland Park. I don't want to go there, though.
No. We'll go to...
Where do you live?
I live in the Glen Vista. There's a great little...
You're in the south of Joburg. Forget it.
Meet halfway, then.
Meet halfway. Halfway's city of Joburg. Like something fancy, like the Rand Club.
44 Stanley somewhere?
Yeah, 44 Stanley.
Okay, let's put that in. All right.
That's not halfway. That's in Auckland Park, but that's okay.
That's fine. Yeah. So I don't want to go to anywhere Auckland Park. So but the street after Auckland Park, let's fucking meet there.
So 63 Stanley.
63 Stanley.
All right. What time again? 1 o'clock?
Yeah, 1 p.m. is great. Right, okay. Here we go.
Got it. 1,300 hours, Wednesday, 19 October.
Safe. Perfect.
Lunch for being done. All right.
Thanks for being genuine and sincere, Gareth. I appreciate it.
You put me under pressure.
You sound like a politician.
Normally,
I only have to do the right thing now because people are throwing shit.
Well, normally I'd weasel out of it, but I'll be there. All right.
Good. That'd be great fun.
So besides the festival, what are your plans for the rest of the year? What big things are you going to be doing?
I'm working on two, I want to say secret projects, but we haven't announced it yet. Also a bit of a comedy tour. And then next year I'm working on an international music act,
ooh,
which I've been working on for 12 years. If they come down next year, it will be 13 years in the pipeline.
Is it Julio Iglesias?
No, it's not Julio. Oh. It's not Julio. It's something...
Is it Michelle from Destiny's Child?
No. Shame. I'm sure she has kids who could sing, though. Like,
is it one of the guys from NSYNC who was not Justin Timberlake?
Were there others?
Nobody
knows. I was watching some VH1 the other day.
Can you remember one guy from NSYNC who isn't Justin Timberlake? Name one.
Lance Bass.
That's true.
He was actually... Yes, you're right. Mm. So what happened to him?
He tried to pull a Mark Shuttleworth. This is what he did. He said, I want to go to space. And he thought, okay, people are going to love him because he's the guy. Yeah. And he said, I want to go to space. And then they went to the Russians.
Yeah, and?
And then he said, okay, I need money. Obviously, you need money to go to space. But Mark Shuttleworth just went with like his Capitec card. You know, he just went with his card and swiped it. Yeah. And then he's like, okay, you go to space. And then Lance is like, I've got my gold card, but then that shit's maxed out, so you couldn't use it. Then he went on like online and he was like, hey, like, you know, when crowdfunding had to be manual, he was like, hi guys, I need money to go to space. And then he raised something ridiculous, like a ridiculously stupidly low amount of money.
Lance
that was like,
Bass.
Yeah, try Lance shame. Bass, go to space.
Shame.
And like, and then obviously you didn't go to space.
No, shame, he couldn't.
Wow. He's got nothing going on.
No.
You know, it's hard trying to make it in that Hollywood place, huh? It's not for everyone.
He got married to a guy.
Mm.
That's all the news. The last piece of news I can find on him is from 20... Yeah, it was that going to space thing.
And that was a good couple of years ago.
It was like 10 years.
That wasn't last week. Yeah,
yeah. 10 years ago. Shame. That's.
And I think I've seen him on like a Strictly Come Show Me a Dance thing. So you think you can strictly do something?
Yeah.
Here's something good, if anyone cares. Lance Bass reveals which NSYNC guy had the most sex, and it's not Justin Timberlake. Do you care about which one it was?
Well, was it him?
Let's see here. He said that the answer was Joey Fatone.
Joey Fatone.
Do you believe that? I don't believe that. Come on. Truth or Daisy.
I think that it's people always think like in bands and stuff, and like I toured with lots of bands in South Africa that like the main lead singer guy is stuff, but it's never the case.
Why not?
It's always like the quiet, because I think the girls feel, or maybe people feel it's too much of a, it's too out there and it's too kind of cliched. Oh, I was at the lead singer of.
No, but you know what?
But if you're at the stage manager of Rolling Stones, if you're at the,
yeah. But they've also got more time.
Yes, also true.
The bassist in a
band. And less to lose.
Playing the bass, you could be mildly retarded and you could play the bass. And you
I'm thinking
still...
in my mind, as you're saying that, I've pictured three or four bass players for South African bands and I'm going, now that you mention it.
No, it's true.
But they're getting the ass.
And they're getting ass. It's good to be a bass guitarist because you don't really have responsibilities.
I suppose if you take away the B, you're ass just an ass player.
All right, I'm looking forward to this,
Clarence Comedy Festival.
Let's give it another plug. Thursday the 6th, Saturday the 8th of October in the destination town of Clarence in the Eastern Free State. A multi-venue, multi-performance comedy festival like no other in South Africa, possibly the whole of Africa.
Ten
comedians, 15 performances, 9 venues in only 3 days. Each performance is different. The comedians are rotated to make sure that every show is unmissable. If you want more information, you can go to...
Go to Facebook.com/Clarence Comedy Fest. And when we'll have a website.
Do not go to Facebook and look for the food and wine appreciation.
No.
Oh, there'll be like
that
a post.
A trap.
There'll be a post from 2011 going, hey, meet me at Franco's.
I met my wife. Now I don't care about you.
True.
All right, Robin, always nice to see you, dude.
You too, Gareth.
This has been fun.
It's been fun. Yeah. Good to see you too, my
buddy. Come visit
good
us more often.
See you.
This is CliffCentral.com.